Climate Woke, a new series of social-friendly videos, highlights the experiences of the frontline communities most impacted by climate change and environmental devastation. The Big C, a video produced by Climate Woke members, "There is no climate justice without labor justice. The exploitation of working people is connected to the devastation of our planet and our communities, but when we fight back, we win." Following the Big C, Jan Hawken talks with producer Lyle Camargo, who uses satire, comedy, and critical hope to amplify the realities of those facing the brunt of the climate crisis and offers collective solutions for a more sustainable future. And now, the Big C.
I'm here to spill the beans on the Big C. Fellas don't think it's real. Us ladies can't even talk about it. And for everyone in between and whatnot, forget about it. We can't even admit we have a Big C. But lucky for you, I'm here to help. I know everything that has to do with the big climate crisis. The climate crisis is a result of a highly abundant resource that is constantly extracted. Most people think that this resource is fossil fuels. In reality, it's not. This resource is people. This is Rita. Instead of using her labor to meet her basic needs, Rita ends up selling her labor to someone else who decides what to do with her time. Like most workers, Rita's boss decides what work she does, even if this work harms her body, the planet, and everything else that lives on it. Oh, and the cherry on top? Rita's boss doesn't pay her a living wage. Meanwhile, Rita is stuck in a cycle of trying to make money just to make ends meet. This exploitation is possible because of the lie that one group of people are worth more than others. And by taking ourselves and our labor out of the equation when talking about climate change, we perpetuate a twisted fairy tale that this planet and its people are here to exploit. That life, soil, water, and air are here to package, sell, consume, and dispose of. It's a consequence of the exploitation of labor that is used to extract fossil fuels. To get to the root of the problem, we first have to address social inequity in our relationship as people to the living world. Climate change is something that we'll have to weather together. We have to reclaim our labor in all of its diverse forms that celebrate our different bodies, cultures, and ways of living on planet Earth. It's not about going back. It's about remembering our way forward. It's about working together to solve the Big C.
Welcome to KBOO, Lyle Camargo.
Hi.
Hi. Well, we're happy to have you with us today to talk about your work. We just heard The Big C, produced by you and your collaborators at the Center for Cultural Power. And I must say, it's as beautiful to watch The Big C as a video, which is available, as it is enchanting to hear as radio. So tell us about the analysis behind this piece and what you're trying to say about labor and the climate crisis.
Yeah, first off, thank you for having me. The Big C was born out of collaboration with an amazing activist. His name is Gopal Dayanani, and in collaboration with an amazing climate activist as well as actor and singer, Antonique Smith. And the reason why we went with the idea of making the connections between labor in the climate justice movement is because we're definitely at a fork right now where climate change is not going to get resolved strictly by fossil fuel divestment, strictly by renewable energy investment, but it is going to require a large societal shift. A lot of our young and amazing activists are making connections between racial disparity, class disparity, abilities, and the impacts that those frontline marginalized communities have in the climate crisis. So why we targeted The Big C to focus on labor is because the reality is we have a labor exploitation problem, which is gathering the accumulation of wealth and power between the people who are the 1%. And it isn't until we start to reclaim our labor and start disrupting the exploitation that is happening that we will really get ahead of any possibility of climate change ever being an issue in the future. It's the devaluing of humans that causes the accumulation of labor exploitation by a certain group of people.
I think it's the most brilliant, by far, a short application of Marx's labor theory of value that I've seen. It's funny, it's beautiful, and it in everyday terms explains this idea of extracting a surplus. That's the basis of capitalism and profits, is extracting a surplus from labor. And I think many in the movement now have been taking up extractive industries that exploit the planet and for maximizing of profits. But I think you bring in this other theme, this level of analysis that's so important about extraction of a surplus profit throughout the history of capitalism, of primarily working class people, but brown and black people, indigenous people, and their lands and labor, and that this is a structural problem within capitalism at the center of the climate crisis.
That's right. Yeah. And so I think it's a time where we can't keep just talking about polar ice caps melting or the extinction of natural resources, which is a very important conversation to have. But we also need to talk about, you know, our brothers and sisters at the front lines who are, for lack of better words, in positions of employment that are damaging the planet, but not to any fault of their own. A lot of it has been systemically organized, and not all of us have access to Marxist theory, and not all of us have access to academic language or academic reading. So we went with the big C because we wanted it to be digestible. We wanted it to be understanding for everybody, and we wanted it to be fun and entertaining. We didn't want to make something about climate change that we keep seeing, which is gloom and doom narratives. For myself, I kind of nerd out on a lot of documentaries, but for many people, our lives are already difficult. And when we sit down and we want to scroll through social media, we want to see stuff that either brings us joy or that, you know, makes us feel a little bit more stimulated. So the big C was a good way for us to continue pushing for fossil fuel extraction to be more than just about divestment against fossil fuels, but to actually be about the reclamation of labor and moving towards community cooperation and collaboration, which is what we're going to need to survive this crisis together.
And I think the video plays very cleverly on the idea of something very big. It's the big elephant in the room that's hard to talk about, that there's a taboo or anxiety around it as well. And that for marginalized groups, historically, humor has been an important weapon of resistance.
That's right.
And a lot of the traditions of comics, comedians come out of groups that have suffered oppression or prejudice. So how do you draw on, as also someone who identifies with marginalized and has a history of marginalization, how do you think about the role of humor in the climate movement?
I think a lot of what drives how we approach these narratives, and the big C doesn't have a huge comedy component, but there are two additional climate woke videos that are out there. One's already been released that plays more in the comedy field. Is myself as a transgender, gender nonconforming, first generation American. My mother is a descendant of an indigenous tribe from the Sonoran Desert. I grew up experiencing colorism, being impacted by classism, coming out as queer, coming out as transgender was a big struggle. And what a lot of us have learned to survive on is being able to gather with people of similar experiences and being able to laugh at the end of the day around what we do to release. And so as someone who comes from marginalized communities, laughter and joy is something that has to be strongly cultivated. I look at the Black community a lot for my work because of the history in this country, and the oppression that Black people have experienced has really driven how we want people to talk about climate change. We don't want it to be about moving from a place of shame and guilt, which white supremacy has indoctrinated us in that. We want to move from a place of joy and possibility, and that's only possible through fun, through the arts, through cultural activation. And a lot of the work that we work on with Climate Woke is around that. How do we gather people together around the possibility of a future, which is honestly really difficult to do in the environmental movement, because you look at the data, you look at the dropping rates of certain populations of plants and animals, and the extinction rates are going up, and we ourselves are getting closer to that. And now with we're in a global pandemic, which to no fault of many of us, we're all being impacted by it, similarly to climate change. And so being able to find joy and pleasure and being able to laugh at the end of the day, as ridiculous as it sounds when it feels like the whole world's falling apart, literally, I think is very important because we are a very creative, smart, intuitive, loving species. And I don't think we get enough credit for what we can do because we're so tied up to the 9-to-5. Most of us do not have the privilege of even having weekends off because it's so expensive to live. And, you know, the systems have been created that way so that we stay in our jobs. So I think the Big C, what it's really trying to do is also push for the fun and the joy and the possibility. One of the comments that I got after it was released was, "What you're saying here at the end is not possible." And I just thought, wow, the imagination of people is just so dim, and that's strategic. So that makes me feel like I'm doing a good job if I'm making somebody question or really face their thoughts and that they're being vocal about it. I'm glad that person made that comment, because I hope other people see it and they're like, is it possible? Is it not possible?
You mean that criticism suggested that your project or your analysis is too utopian?
Yes, too utopian. and I think that the thing is what we are pushing for, we see people doing. It's just people haven't seen that. There's a lot more mobilization around land reclamation. There's reparations happening. We've been seeing a return of land to Indigenous communities. So I actually feel like what we are, our vision is now. It's happening. And being able to approach all of that with pleasure and joy and lots and lots and lots and laughter is going to help us there. What made us move towards comedy, because we were initially doing Man on the Streets, but what made us move towards comedy is we met an amazing academic, and she told us that the best way to do problem solving is if somebody's laughing, and that studies have proven this in psychology over and over. That to me made me think, all right, let's have fun. Let's really, I was holding back, but then it's like, let's just have fun. I mean, it's about doing it in a respectful way where everybody feels like their voices are still being heard while things are being laughed and processed.
And I wrote an article years back on drag and called What's So Funny, and made a film about the role of humor for straight audiences and why they find drag funny. And it became a question of who pays the price of the joke? What's being laughed at? Is it gender codes? Is it laughing at gay men, straight women? And I think that question of who pays the price of the joke, how to use humor as a weapon against the dominant industries that are destroying so much of life on the planet. So there's both humor as a kind of acknowledgement of the absurdity of situations, of the importance of pleasure, even in the midst of a lot of suffering. But there's also humor as a political weapon, mm-hmm. against ruling elites. Would you align yourself with that tradition of humor as a political weapon, as opposed to a way of reclaiming joy and amidst tremendous suffering?
Oh, yes, most definitely. And before I go into it more, the person who I'm naming who really inspired us to move forward is Katie Borum, who's an academic, and she wrote a book called A Comedian and an Activist Walk into a Bar. I recommend it for folks who are activists. And to go back to what you're saying is comedy and joy and laughter and pleasure are essential in times of revolution, in times of systemic change. And I align myself very, very much with that is a form of resistance. And because when our lights get dim, when we get so caught up in the reactionary of what is happening, which is important, we are just tapped into our survival. And we are left without an option of thinking through what's an imaginative or a creative or a radical possibility in the future. And it's the balance of two that actually is so necessary for the work that we do. And as somebody who was a former organizer in transformative justice, I think this has been a big influencer to my work, is that we can't focus on abolishing certain systems like fossil fuel extraction, certain governmental systems that aren't working, and not building something new, because what we're going to be left with is a lot of sorrow, a lot of grief, a lot of needing to react to something that we might actually perpetuate that from continuing those systems to be continuing for us to be stuck in a fighting mode. And what climate change is showing us is that climate change is a symptom to a bigger problem. And the biggest problem is the inequity in our systems and our societies. And it isn't until we address the racial disparities, the class disparities, the gender disparities, the disparities in the impacts that we have on communities that are disabled, that we won't be able to eradicate certain symptoms like climate change.
In closing, tell listeners how they can find your work and learn more about the Center for Cultural Power, as well as the Big C video and other works.
Yeah, so you can follow us on at Culture Strike on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The videos are on our Instagram TV, on Culture Strike's handle, and the most recent release video is called The Power to Rely On, which looks at Native Indigenous women on both Hopi and Navajo Nation around what they're doing around renewable energy. That one's a little bit more funnier than The Big C, and you can watch The Big C on there too. And if you are interested in continuing our work, you can follow us on YouTube as well. We'll be posting our next video, hopefully by the end of September or by mid-October.
Well, thank you so much for your work and for being with us today, Lael Camargo. Thank you for being with us on Omo Variety, RNK Boo, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I hope you have a good day.